All right, here we are. So I just want to say welcome everyone to our Healing MS, Multiple Sclerosis, and Autoimmune Disorder class, Autoimmune Disease class, whether it's Crohn's or fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome. There's lots of other autoimmune diseases as well that are going to be helped by the information that I give you today. So again, in today's class, I'll be sharing what is at the root of these autoimmune diseases and how to begin healing them. I'm going to be giving you some tools to get started with. So I recommend that you grab a notebook or open a document on your device, and because I'm going to be asking you to take some to do some reflection as we move through this class today. And again, I just want to say thank you to everyone for being flexible, flexible and patient as I rescheduled this class from Monday. And I'm going to go into a little bit later today what gave me, why I rescheduled the class to today. And kind of the things that came up for me when I did that still to this day. So that's what we're going to be doing in class. Again, grab a notebook or open a document on your device. And we're going to be doing some write and reflect in a little bit. And then towards the end of the call, if you feel like you would like more support from me, I'm going to let you know how you can do that. So I want to start though by saying a little bit. I know some of you have worked with me before, some of you have heard me speak before. But for those of you that are new, I want to give you a little bit of information about me and why I'm here teaching this today. As you know, it's National MS Awareness Month, and I wasn't able to teach this class till later this month because I had some other things going on in my business. And so here we are. So I'm teaching this workshop because I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2004. And at that time, I was a occupational therapist. I'm still an occupational therapist by degree, but I was working at a rehab hospital at the time in Idaho. And I was treating people that had multiple sclerosis and other autoimmune disorders as well. And so when I got the diagnosis, I was shocked. I was devastated. I knew how bad it could be. And I, gosh, I'm just remembering back to that. It was pretty traumatic. And, my first symptoms, the reason I went to the ER, that's how I got diagnosed. I had got just finished doing a short 3 mile race. I was a runner at the time. And, I didn't feel good that morning. And I hadn't slept very well the week before. And yet I pushed myself to do this race. I was like, oh, no worries. Like I always pushed myself in the past. So at the end of the race, I literally could not speak. Words would not come out of my mouth. And I panicked, of course. And my husband at the time took me to the ER. He thought I had a stroke. So 5 hours later, after MRI, et cetera, I got the diagnosis. And for the next 3 years, people always say, well, how bad did you have it? And I had it pretty bad. So besides the trouble finding words and speaking, I lost vision in my right eye. I had numbness and weakness on first the right side of my body, kind of like a stroke. And then I also had it on the left side of my body at times, but it was more right side focused. I also had really debilitating fatigue. And I know that's pretty common. Everyone with MS has different symptoms, but I know that debilitating fatigue is a pretty common one. So over the next 3 years, things just got worse. And people always say, were you on Western medicine? Yes, I was. I did Rebif, And I also tried Tysabri when it came out. That was pretty new, towards the end of those 3 years. And so I did try Western medicine, but again, over those 3 years, I just got worse. And then in September 2007, so I was again diagnosed in September 2004. In September 2007, 3 years later, I had this very interesting experience. I went to give myself a shot of the medicine. I had just had another relapse. And I went to give myself a shot of medicine, and I heard this voice, and it said, don't take the medicine anymore. And we're going to show you another way to heal this. And I was not religious at the time. I was not spiritual at the time. I had no idea what this voice was, but something in me knew that it was speaking the truth and I needed to listen. And so I did. And it wasn't a popular decision. My husband at the time was very angry about it. My neurologist, of course, was very much against it. But I just knew that it was what I needed to do. So for the next 3 years, I dove deeply into alternative healing, mind-body healing, spirituality, you name it. I did it. And by 2010, November 2010, I went to go have my checkup, my MRI, and my doctor's appointment with afterwards with my neurologist. And, by that time, I didn't have any more symptoms. I was feeling pretty darn good most of the time. And so I go to this appointment and she's like, I don't know what you've been doing, but your lesions are gone. And I had, I don't think I mentioned this, I had like 80 lesions in my brain. And, upper spinal cord. So, and I haven't had any symptoms since then. So again, I have been teaching what I did for myself, and it wasn't fast, and I'm going to say it wasn't easy, but I've been teaching it since 2010, and it works. Right, whether it's MS or any other autoimmune disorder or really any illness. Today's class is focused on autoimmune, but I help people with cancer, I help people with thyroid, you name it. Right. But again, today's class is really focused on autoimmune and the root of the autoimmune. So that's why I'm here today. I knew that it was my guidance that once I healed this myself, I just had to share it with other people, right? Why would I keep this to myself? And this isn't, I'll be honest, this isn't going to, not everyone's going to love what I say today. And it might feel overwhelming perhaps, but again, I just want you to breathe and I want you to remember baby steps, right? I didn't change everything overnight. My life, my body did not heal overnight. It took time. And it took patience and it took a whole lot of compassion and a whole lot of support. Right? I didn't do this alone. So what I want to do first as we move into this is I always, for those of you that are new, I like to have everyone go through a little bit of a breath practice, a little bit of a grounding practice. It helps release stress. So just closing your eyes. I'm going to close mine too. I know for some of you, it's the afternoon. Some of you, it might be the morning. I know that there's people listening from all over. So whatever time of day it is, this is going to help you just come back and connect with yourself. Get in your body. And the fastest way to do that is following connecting with your breath. So eyes closed and just begin to follow the breath in and out of your body. Follow it into the nostrils, the chest, the belly, back out again through the mouth or the nose. following the breath in and out of your body. And again, you're not trying to fix or change your breath. You're just focusing on it. And by doing that, it automatically deepens. Good. And then next, just let's do what I call a body scan. I'm going to take you through a little bit of a body scan to also help you connect with your body, which is really important. Those of us with any disease or illness have been taught to fight it, to push it away, and I'm going to give you a new perspective today. What we really want to do is we want to connect with the body so we can hear the messages it's bringing us. It is not our enemy to fight. It is our friend. Your body is not against you right now. It's trying to help you heal. So we have to be able to connect with the body before we can hear its messages. And the best way that I know to do that is what I call a body scan. And you can't do this wrong. I just need to say that to all the perfectionists out there. So again, eyes, keeping your eyes closed, and just with your attention, follow through all the body parts that I mentioned. Just bring your attention to each of these parts as I mention them, just noticing what's present there. So first, becoming aware of sensation in your mouth. Just noticing sensation in the lips. Sensation in the cheeks. Eyes. Forehead. And your scalp. Sensation in your neck. Throat, sensation in your arms. First, bring your attention to sensation in your right arm and your right hand, just noticing what's present today. And then moving to the left arm and the left hand, just noticing what's present. In the front of your torso next, sensation in your chest, belly, your pelvis. And then moving to the back of the torso, sensation in the upper back, the middle back, and the lower back. And the buttocks. And then moving down into your legs, first bringing your awareness to sensation in the right leg and the right foot. And then moving to the left leg and the left foot. Becoming aware of sensation in the whole body now. gratitude for your whole body and all of the messages that it's bringing you. And then coming back to following your breath in and out of the body. And as you breathe in, breathing in gratitude for yourself. Wherever you are on your healing journey, just gratitude for everything you've experienced, everything you've tried, your courage. And breathing out any self-judgment. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing it good enough. Let's do that one more time. Breathing in compassion and gratitude for yourself and everything you've been through and are going through right now. Most of our journeys are not easy or fun, and they're challenging very often. And breathing out any self-criticism, any self-judgment, all that inner critic stuff. Not good enough, not fast enough. All of it. Let's just breathe it out of every cell of your body. Next, breathing in acceptance of where you are on your journey. Whether you're in the middle of a relapse, whether you, wherever you are in your journey right now, if you're feeling good today, if you're not feeling good today, just acceptance of where you are in this moment on your journey. And one last time, breathing out any criticism of yourself. All of that negative stuff that you say to yourself silently and or out loud. Breathing in the truth that you are exactly where you're meant to be right now. And it's no coincidence that you're listening to this, whether it's live or to the replay, no coincidence. There is something today that you're meant to hear that is going to help you to heal. You're exactly where you're meant to be, breathing out again any criticisms, any doubts. And lastly, just setting an intention for this class, that during the whole class, you're going to have an open mind and an open heart, compassion and curiosity for yourself. No judgment, no blame of anything you become aware of today. Because that is one of the root causes of autoimmune disorder. Okay. Judging, blaming, beating up on yourself. We're leaving that, we call it the perfectionist in my world, at the door. Giving yourself a hug physically. Saying, I love you. You're doing a great job. You're doing the best you can every day. And it's possible to heal. We are healing more every day. And we don't have to do this alone. Anything else you want to tell yourself today that would be loving and kind and compassionate? Ah, and then opening your eyes and just noticing how you're feeling mentally, physically, and emotionally right now. Maybe a little bit better than when you first started listening. Okay, so let's move into, what is at the root of MS and autoimmune disorders? And Western medicine says that it is the body attacking itself. That's what Western medicine says in a nutshell, right? Autoimmune, your body is attacking itself. Now, in mind-body healing philosophy, which is what I teach, more mind-body-soul or mind-body-spirit philosophy, the root cause of autoimmune disorders is the body is letting you know how or that you are attacking yourself. Or another way to say it is that you're not fully loving yourself. Okay? And we're going to go deeply into that today, but that's in a nutshell. Western medicine, body's attacking itself, so we better fight the body. Mind-body healing philosophy, the body is letting you know that you are attacking or not loving yourself in one or more ways. So there's two pieces to this attack that we want to look at. So one is that, and we're going to talk about this one a little bit, and then we're going to talk a lot more about the second one. But I just want to touch on today that all of us, every person I have ever worked with an autoimmune disorder, has a past history where they have been attacked by someone else in some way. So, yeah, it could have been, and we're going to go into these in a little bit, but I'm going to name the two first. Okay. So number one, there are past attack wounds that you are still holding in your body from this lifetime. And if you believe in past lives, from past lives as well, and they need to be healed and released on a deeper level. Number two is you've been attacking yourself. So when we get attacked by other people, usually starting in childhood, and I'll tell you all the ways we get attacked by others, we usually end up turning that back on ourselves. And again, out of fear. We attack ourselves out of fear so that maybe then other people won't attack us again. And again, that may sound strange, and I'll get more into that in a little bit. Regardless, both of these cause stress. And we know that stress is at the root of all disease and illness. So holding on to past attack wounds in the body, stress, and attacking yourself with thoughts, words, and actions out of fear, well, others don't do it to you again, causes stress. So let's spend a few minutes on the past attack wounds. So when I say you've been attacked in the past, I'm going to name some ways that you may, and you might remember and you might not. So I had an interesting phenomena where I didn't remember most of the first 10 years of my childhood. And even after that, not very much. But the first 10 years, it was really kind of blank. I knew I had had some sexual abuse by my cousins. I remember I had been teased a lot, specifically by boys at school. So I knew those things, but then there was just like this other blank. And so some of you might have that too, where you're like, I don't remember. So different ways you might have been attacked and maybe still are by other people. Criticism, yelling, physical abuse, sexual abuse, teasing, shaming, name calling, betrayal, blamed for things that weren't your fault. And maybe you grew up in what I call an attack environment, where there was a lot of chaos and violence, even if it wasn't necessarily directed at you. Like my dad yelled. My dad was violent. He was an alcoholic. He yelled and threw things. Not necessarily threw things at me, but and I got yelled at by him, but I learned from a young age to try and do what he wanted me to do so I didn't get yelled at. But he yelled and name called my mom like daily. It was awful. So I grew up around that, right? Just never felt safe. I was in an attack environment. you know, my mom was also very critical of me. So my dad took it out on, took his stuff out on her, and then she took her stuff out on me. So, you know, I also had that in my environment, a lot of criticism, also physical abuse. My mom actually would hit me. And again, a lot of these memories I did not have actually until the last 5 to 10 years, probably. We get memories when we're ready for them, is what I tell everyone. And when people come to work with me, they tend to get more memories, which is good, because then we know what we need to look at to heal. So I had this violent, you know, I had this criticism, I had physical abuse, teasing, a lot of teasing, which people say, oh, I'm just kidding. Like, yeah. Mm-mm. I had teasing at home and at school. And I had a big betrayal. My dad sexually abused me from the time I was 6 to the time I was 10. And I tried to tell my mom. So betrayal by my father, right? And then betrayal by my mother. She didn't stop it. I tried to tell her. So as you can see, I have a lot of past attack wounds. And I know that many of us think, well, I've worked on these things so many times. Me too. I've been in counseling since I was 16. And I'm telling you, to this day, even though I don't have MS anymore, I still have deeper layers of that I'm healing at this point, which is why I rescheduled Monday's class. I was going through another deep release, and I wasn't in a place that was good for me to teach class. And I can honor that for myself now versus pushing through. So again, we had these past attack wounds. It may have been once, but likely it happened over and over, these things, right, that need deeper healing. And because of my own experience with this, I have lots and lots of tools, and I can support my clients deeply in healing these past attack wounds, as I have done so for myself, and I still continue to get help doing it as well. So that's the first piece. Today, though, I'm going to spend more time on the ways we attack or not love. So sometimes people say, well, I don't know what you mean by attack. I'll say, okay, things that you say or do that are not loving for yourself. And some people are like, oh, okay, I know what that means. But we're going to go through all those ways today. The biggies, right? The big ways that you might be attacking or not loving yourself that need to shift so that you can heal the MS, so that the symptoms, you know, in my experience, the symptoms, the illness stays as long as it needs to until you make those changes. And then after that, they go away, unless you fall back into ways that are attacking and not loving. So that 3 years I was telling you about where I went like deeper into healing this, I would get better and then I would fall back into unloving, attacking ways and I would get symptoms again. That happened on and off for 3 years. It took me 3 years of experimentation, right? To see that, to see it in my life, the truth of that. And now I continue to see that and with my clients, and I'm able to share that, like, hey, look at, you fell off the wagon again with, you know, with this, and you're not really loving yourself in that area. And, you know, we need to shift that. So let's go into those ways. So for each of these, what I encourage you to do, again, on a notebook or on your device, a document on your device, rate on a scale of 1 to 10. So I'm going to explain each one, and then I'm going to say, okay, let's rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being, okay, that's not really an area that I need to really work on right now. 10 is like, holy cow, this is really not good. This area is really, I need to work on this area. And again, we're doing this with compassion and curiosity. Okay? We're not beating ourselves up. We're not blaming ourselves. We're not, you know, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this. Because guess what? When you do that, what does it do? It's you beating up on yourself again, which is the number one Okay, so here we go. Let's get into the different areas where you might be attacking or not loving yourself to the degree you need to be. And that's what this illness is coming to show you. So number one is negative self-talk. You might call it the inner critic, being harsh or unkind. The way that you talk to yourself silently or out loud. I remember I used to hear myself tell myself that I was stupid. Oh, that's stupid, or you're stupid. And until we are aware of it, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, I didn't realize how much I was probably saying it on a daily basis. And the truth is, I heard it on a daily basis growing up. So oftentimes that negative self-talk we have now definitely comes from the past, from that first, you know, those past attack wounds. I was called stupid every day, pretty much by my father, right? So criticism by him and my mom, just in different ways. So negative self-talk, beating yourself up for things, blaming yourself for things that either you did or didn't do right or good enough. So I also talk about, and I'm going to be kind of adding this in, I guess, to today's call, is there's three patterns that are really unhealthy that I support my patients, my clients, whether I'm doing my own business or I'm in the OT clinic. I still do some OT part-time here in Hawaii to get out of the house, to make some friends since we just moved here. Because I get to see people that I wouldn't normally get to see. But one of the things that I always have to work on is what I call the perfectionist, right? That inner critic, that part that says mistake, or afraid of making a mistake, that there's a right or wrong way to do things, etc. So I want you to take a moment to reflect on, is this something that needs to shift for you? This negative self-talk, or thinking about yourself negatively, if you're not actually saying it out loud, it can still be thoughts, negative thoughts towards yourself, like I'm not good enough, everything's my fault, etc. A scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, no, this isn't a problem. 5, moderately. 10, oh my God. Like when I realized this for myself, I was probably a 10. I was so hard on myself. So yeah, mean to myself. Okay. Again, compassion and curiosity. You're not going to beat yourself up for beating up on yourself, for becoming aware of this pattern, right? It's ridiculous, but we do that. We do that. So I'm going to say right now, let's not do that. Okay. Let's be aware of that and not do that. That's number one. Number two, not showing up for yourself emotionally. So many of us growing up didn't get good messages about emotions, especially the negative ones. And we typically show up for ourselves emotionally the way our parents did for themselves. And most of our parents didn't have healthy ways of coping with their emotions, right? So, you know, I saw my parents stuff a lot, right? Or explode. Stuff or explode, stuff or explode, and yelling, throwing things, hitting, when my dad was angry. So many of us, and then many of us, our emotions were made wrong or called silly. You know, I remember I was talking to someone the other day about this memory of me where I accidentally got left outside, and I grew up in Wisconsin. It was freaking cold. And it was the middle of winter, and my parents had a miscommunication about picking me up after school. So it's dark, it's cold. I'm out there for 2 hours. This is when like teachers didn't stay with kids after school to make sure they got a ride home. I am by myself. It is dark. It is cold. And it's at the edge of town. So I can't really like walk anywhere. And my dad finally picks me up after 2 hours and I am crying. And I get in the truck and I'm sobbing. And he's like, why are you crying? Like, stop crying. Don't be silly. You knew we weren't going to leave you here. I was like 7 years old. Don't be silly. Stop crying. Are you freaking kidding me? So again, we do this to ourselves now, the way that it was done to us growing up, what we saw growing up, what we heard growing up about our emotions, that's what we're doing to ourselves now. So many of us are not showing up for ourselves emotionally in a very loving way. We either reject, make it wrong, or stuff. So, you know, if my parents weren't exploding, then they were watching TV, they were eating. My mom, food was one of her big stuffing things. My dad, it was drinking and drugs. Also TV. My mom, a lot of it was focusing on other people's problems. And so, yeah. Is this, again, with compassion and curiosity, how are you showing up for yourself emotionally? Do you accept your emotions when they come up? Do you have tools and healthy ways to feel them and release them? Do you validate them or do you make them wrong, like growing up? Right. So just take a minute or two again on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, nope, I got no problem with this. I'm sorry, opposite. 10, I've got a big problem with it. 1, it's not that big of a problem right now. Right? I am showing up for myself emotionally. And let's just be really honest with each other, you know, with ourselves. If not with anyone else, with yourself. And then lots of compassion, because we only do what we're taught until we learn a better way. And that's one of the things I help people to do big time, because I had to learn it for myself. Okay. Number 3, not knowing and expressing your wants, needs, desires, following your own guidance. So many of us are stuck in the pattern of what I call people pleasing. And we are focused on what everybody else wants or what they tell you you should want. Right? And maybe you don't even know that you're doing this, but let's tune in. Right? So I'll give you an example. I still struggle with this sometimes. I have a really strong people pleaser with men. And I'm very aware of it. And my sweetie's aware of it. Like, we talk about it. He calls me out when I'm doing it. He'll say, where do you want to go for dinner? And I'll say, oh, I don't know. Maybe this place or this place. But what do you want? What do you want to do? Right? So it can be so small or in quote unquote insignificant, or it can be bigger than that. Right? Like, not life or death, not going out to dinner where I want to go. But, you know, I used to always do either what my parents wanted me to do, what, you know, I went to school for nursing at first because my family said, oh, go to school for nursing. There's always jobs in nursing. And so I did. And then I couldn't. Like, after 3 years, I'm in the honors nursing program. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't take people's blood. Like, I pass out. So that's how I got into OT. But yeah, so not knowing what you want, need, and desire, and not expressing it with other people, falling into that, what I call people pleasing. And again, everyone had to do that to some degree as a child. I mean, everyone, right? We were taught, do what pleases your parents. And now many of us are still doing that as adults with our husbands, wives, kids, friends, still with our parents, perhaps, if your parents are alive and you're talking to them. But we're not doing what we really feel in our heart that we want or we need or we desire to be happy and fulfilled. Right? A lot of us also got messages growing up that what we want isn't important. Right? Many of us had narcissistic parents. You know, both of my parents were narcissistic in different ways. My dad was overt. My mom was more covert. And I talk about that more in my programs, but yeah. So yeah, I grew up with narcissistic parents, and it was really all about them. Even if it looked like it was about me, it was because they looked good for it, or it gave them something. So we learned that what we wanted or what we needed or what we desired wasn't important. Often shamed when we expressed what we wanted, needed, or desired. We were punished sometimes. I was definitely shamed. I was told I was selfish. So, and now we're still doing that as adults. So that might be an area for you. So let's again look at us on the scale of 1 to 10. And I want you just to check in, tune in, and how is this one for you? Is this one like, you know, and maybe you don't do it with everyone, but maybe with like only your boss or, you know, your coworkers. So some of you do it professionally. Some of you do it personal relationships. Some of you do both, right? I did it with both, right? So just check in on a scale of 1 to 10. Again, 10 being this is really a big area for me to focus on moving forward. And 1 being, oh, not so much. I'm not really, you know, people pleasing isn't really my problem, my big problem right now. I've worked a lot on that. And yeah, I'm, you know, on my scale, people pleasing is probably a 2 or a 3 right now. Maybe, yeah, 1 to 2, some days a 3. It depends. Again, compassion and curiosity. You're not making yourself wrong for any of it, right? All right. Well, we're really looking here to find what is at the root of this illness, this autoimmune, this attacking, not fully loving myself. So that we can't change anything we're not aware of. So that's why this is really big. And again, all of these pretty much come from some childhood, which is why we work on both, look at both now. You know, what we experience in childhood, pretty much everything comes from that. And now we're still doing it today as adults. Right? But the difference now is we have the capability of changing it. As children, we didn't. As children, we kind of had to put up with this crap. We had to do these things in order to get love and our needs met, to get approval, to ultimately to survive. All right. Let's slide into 4. 4 is not listening to and nurturing your body. So in a nutshell, you, me, currently or in the past, physically pushed our body too hard. We did too much. We didn't give it enough rest. We didn't give it the movement it needed, maybe the food that it really needed. We're pushers, right? And I wouldn't say I learned it from my family. My dad was a big pusher. Like, he had to be really, really sick if, you know, if he didn't go to work. And the same was true for me. I, you know, unless I was like throwing up all over the place and had a bad fever, I was forced to go to school, right? Colds, you don't stay home for colds. So it's what I call the superhuman syndrome is at the root of this, the not listening to your body, pushing your body too hard physically. Not giving it the rest it needs, maybe movement, maybe food. And again, this is a pattern. It's not just, you probably are thinking, oh God, was my mom or my dad the pusher or both? And then as a culture, most cultures and societies, this is true as well. And I know in the American culture, it's huge, right? You go until you can't go anymore. The Energizer Bunny. Right? The hamster wheel. So is this an area? And then, oh, and I want to add, and then when you can't. So I would push, 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 push. I totally did too much, worked too much, just was always on the go, always busy. And then when I got MS and I couldn't do, I would beat myself up, right? I should be able to. Like, if I can't, then I'm worthless. Was a big one. That's a big superhuman belief. If I can't do X, Y, or Z, I'm worthless. And you may be conscious of that or maybe not conscious of it. Maybe me talking about it is bringing it to consciousness right now. Okay. And again, that's great. We can't change anything we're not aware of. So is this an area that you're being called to work on to shift? And I know a lot of people with MS or other autoimmune disorders like chronic fatigue are like, yeah, but I can't do a lot right now. I know. And are you beating yourself up for not being able to? You're beating yourself up for that. Okay, because it's still the same thing, right? So scale of 1 to 10, how is this one for you? 10, oh my God, I really need to work on this. I want to shift this. 1, no, not so bad. 5 in the middle, you know, somewhere along the spectrum. And that's the OT in me, rating on a scale of 1 to 10. And I do that, and there's no right or wrong number. It's just so that in the future, you can go back and look at it and rate it again and see your improvement, see your progress. Or see if you've fallen in again. So for me, it's just a way to keep tabs on where I'm at any given point. Like, where did I start? Like I said earlier, self-criticism, I was probably a 10. Now, self-criticism, most days, probably 1 to 2, sometimes 3, if I do something new. All right. Moving forward. And again, before I get into the next one, I just want to remind, then this would be your superhuman, I call it superwoman, superman, superhuman as well, is thinking that you, like a lot of you, like me, I had to work on all these pieces, but I didn't do them all at once. So I don't want to overwhelm you today. So at the end of this class, this call, I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm going to give you some like what you can do. But right now we're just gathering information. We're getting the whole picture. Okay. I felt important to say that. All right. Number 5. Not making time for play. Not making enough time to play, to have fun, to enjoy. And I know that before you had MS or autoimmune disorder, maybe, you know, you definitely weren't making enough time, most of you, to play, or you were playing, but you weren't really enjoying it. So here's a weird phenomenon that I've experienced and see it all the time in my clients. They will do activities that are enjoyable, that should be enjoyable, but they're not actually feeling the joy. Because I'll tell you why this usually is. Because oftentimes in childhood, again, back to the attack wounds, you didn't feel safe. You were walking on eggshells. So even if you were playing, like I would be playing in my room with, you know, and supposed to be having fun, but I was always on high alert, waiting for the next yelling spree, waiting for the next, like my door to be whipped open and to be hit. Waiting for the wall to be punched or the door to be ripped off its hinges. Like, so I could never really fully relax and enjoy play. I was always waiting for something bad to happen. So I've really had to work a lot on that, like doing things that are play. And right now for me, it's going to the beach and just laying on the beach and relaxing, listening to music or reading. Or floating in the ocean and like actually letting myself not think about the past or the future, like letting myself enjoy now and feeling safe now and enjoying. So making time for passions and play, but then also actually when you make the time, are you really enjoying it? Or are you still on that high alert, walking on eggshells? Like maybe you're not, haven't been aware of it, right? So again, scale of 1 to 10. Where are you with this one? 10 is, ooh, I really got to work on it. Again, 1 is for those that are coming in newly. 1 is like, not really a problem for me at this time. Like I've maybe worked a lot on this. And just, yeah, being honest, compassion and curiosity. All right. Moving into 6. This one's probably going to be one of the hardest. Oh, I don't like to use the word hard, but this can be really challenging because relationships are everything in our life. So this is a big one for it was for myself and most of my clients, again, because relationships are everything. But 6 is staying in unhealthy, unfulfilling, unsupportive, draining, or abusive relationships. So being really honest and looking at all of the relationships in your life, and are you staying in some that are not either, you know, are abusive or just unfulfilling, unsupportive? Like maybe, you know, I'll give an example for me. And again, we usually do this because as a child, we were stuck. We had no choice. Right. So you'll see that a lot of your relationships right now, for many of you, mirror relationships that you had with your mom or your dad or your siblings, the people that you grew up with and were kind of stuck with. Even if, you know, and you had no choice, you had to kind of put up with it. So right now what happens is we tend to like normalize that, like that was normal and we deserve to be treated whatever way it was that wasn't nice or loving or accepting. And now we're attracting people like that and staying in similar relationships as adults. It's scary. I realized when I was married that, you know, one of the things I had to do to fully heal and stay healed from the MS was I had to leave my marriage, which was not easy. He was very controlling and could be very verbally abusive and scary. Get in my face, yell, push me. Craziness and very controlling, very jealous. And I realized in order to heal the MS that I had to leave that. And it took me 2 years to do that after I realized, right? So know that too, like some of these things, you may know they need to change, but you might not be able to change them tomorrow. And some of them you might, right? Or make baby steps towards it. But I really had to work on my fear that I couldn't support myself. God, especially because I had MS, right? Like financially, but I knew that in order to fully heal it, I had to leave. I also had to let go of some friendships because they were abusive and unfulfilling. You know, my mom growing up, I was her counselor. She made me her counselor. I remember like starting at the age of 5, it's like she would sit me on the couch and tell me all her problems. And I realized as an adult that I was, you know, it's great that I do this as a, I'm getting paid to do it, right? As a coach and a therapist, as a guide for you guys. But, you know, I was in a lot of one-way friendships. Let's put it that way. Like I was giving to them and I wasn't getting any emotional support in return. So I had to let go of some friendships. And I also had to separate myself from past, well, they weren't necessarily past, but I realized in order to heal the MS, I needed to create space from my biological family, from my mom and my dad, in order to fully heal. And I had to like put up a boundary with my mom that she couldn't dump her problems on me anymore. So not easy. These are not easy things to shift for many of us. But I would really love for you to take an honest look at all of your relationships. And you might even right now, you know, just note, are most of your relationships really supportive and fulfilling, or are they not? So again, scale a 1 to 10. And maybe you don't really have a lot of relationships. So then that would still be up towards a 10, right? You're isolating. So a lot of my clients, if they're not surrounded by a bunch of toxic or unfulfilling relationships, then they're isolated. They don't have hardly any relationships at all because unconsciously they're afraid they're going to get into some that are like that. You know, I'm thinking of one of my clients right now, like she isolates. Like she really doesn't have any friends. She doesn't have a partner. So let's take an honest look at your relationships. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 something I really need to work on, 1 being something that isn't really a problem. All my relationships are supportive and fulfilling. And I'm going to say win-win, right? Give and receive. We really need to look at that give and receive aspect. All right. We're moving, we're sliding into home. We got a few more here. So hang with me. Number 7, setting and keeping healthy boundaries with yourself and others. So this kind of goes with the last one, relationships. But I like to put it separate because I work on it separate in my programs. The separate key that we work on is boundaries. So many of us weren't allowed to have boundaries as children. Right? We had to do or put up with what our parents did and said, do what they wanted, whether it was good for us or not. And as adults, again, we're still doing that. This is probably one of the biggest ones that I work with my clients on is boundaries, boundaries with time, boundaries with money, boundaries with, yes, you can treat me that way. No, that's not acceptable. Right. So boundaries aren't just about saying no. They're also about saying, hey, I would like this. So yeah, like, no, I don't want that, but hey, I would like this. Or, you know, this is important to me. So boundaries, but I would say time is one of the big ones. So not saying what you want and what you don't want, but also that, that ability, like if you say that and then people don't fulfill it, like things that are really important to you, I call them deal breakers, right? Like, so like one of my deal breakers is if you cheat on me in my partnership, I'm going to leave, right? So in the past, I would set that boundary and they would cheat on me and I would stay. So that's not setting and keeping a boundary. So a lot of us might set boundaries, but are we keeping them? Are we keeping them? So you might be asking for something, but then that person isn't doing it. And it's a really big deal breaker. Like cheating on me is a huge deal breaker. Criticizing me is a huge deal breaker. Right. So, dumping your problems on me all the time and not letting me have any, you know, not giving me emotional support. That's a deal breaker for me. It's got to be give and take. So yeah. So setting that boundaries, and I say with yourself and others, because even when you're setting them with others, it's always with yourself. So is this an area that you might need to clean up and to shift and to work on setting and keeping boundaries with yourself and others? And maybe you're fine with it at home, but you're not good with it at work, or you weren't good with it at work if you're not currently working. I used to suck at it in all areas. I couldn't set boundaries at work because I was, you know, trying to prove. I thought if I set a boundary and didn't work the extra hours or take on the extra projects, then I would get fired, right? Or I wouldn't get a raise. Or people would say I was lazy, right? And again, I shared my other example in my partnerships and even in my friendships, right? That's a huge one that I had to work on and still need to work on it to some degree. Big shifts, but there's always more layers. All right, scale of 1 to 10, boundaries. 10, I suck at boundaries. I really need to work on this. And having humor with this too, you guys, like I know that you really want to heal. And I also know that bringing some humor into this is really important. It was really important for me to do that. And yeah. So what scale of 1 to 10, where are you at with boundaries? All right, two more. Number 8, doing too much and not asking for help. We talked about doing too much earlier. So this one is really the not asking for help. Like, I need to do it all alone. I have to do it all alone. It's weak to ask for help. It's weak to ask for support. And this is another one of those that falls under the umbrella of what I call the superhuman syndrome. So you don't ask for support. You give support, but you don't ask for it. Or maybe you ask for it, but you don't really receive it. Or you feel guilty. Maybe you do receive it, but then you feel guilty for receiving it. Right? Like, I remember that when I first had, or when I was in, not first had, but when I was in my 3 years of MS hell, my bottom, I hated that my husband needed to cook and needed to do most of the cleaning. Like, I felt like I was such a loser and lazy and worthless because he did it. And because I couldn't, right? There were just days I couldn't. There were days I couldn't get out of bed, barely go to the bathroom. I couldn't take a shower. I was so fatigued. So asking for help, support, and receiving it without guilt. How are you doing in that area? Scale of 1 to 10. I'm guessing lots of you need to work on this. All right. Awareness is the key to changing anything, compassion and curiosity. All right, number 9. So being in careers or jobs that are unfulfilling, not doing things that feel work or volunteering that feels fulfilling and fun, this is a big one again for a lot of people. So I'll give an example. I worked at a rehab hospital and it was big. It was a very big rehab hospital. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but I'm a very intuitive, empathic, sensitive person. Light, smells, sounds are, I'm very sensitive to those and people's energies. I can pick up on people's energies. So I'm working at this huge rehab hospital in Idaho. It's probably got 200 and some beds. And so that was a part of it, right? But then there was also, you know, and it was fluorescent lights. It was lots of noise. It was like, I'm thinking about it like now, like all these chemicals and these people are here trying to heal. So for all those reasons, and then the OT job at the time was stressful because you'd have these, I remember this. You had these, what are they called? Like you would wear them little buzzers and you'd get like messages on them. I don't remember what they're called right now. And your schedule could change at any minute. Like, and it was packed, like your schedule was packed and you had this like high stress, like you had to be so billable, like billable hours. And even during your lunch break, you had to take time to do the notes. Like it was just really stressful. Okay. And I knew that I had to leave that in order to fully heal and stay healed. Like that wasn't a good environment job fit for me. And that was really hard to do. You know, I at that point I decided I really need to move into starting my own business, you know, and that's what I was ultimately pushed to do, for other reasons too. But yeah, so just take note was, and maybe you're not working right now, but was your job previously or now either the environment is not healthy for you It could be the people in the environment. It could actually be, like I said, light, noise, sound. Do you not really like what you do? Like, it's not that I didn't like doing the OT job, but I also knew that I wanted to do more of what I'm doing now with you guys. In that, and I couldn't at that time. Western medicine back in 2010, you know, they let me do some meditation and do some breathing exercises, but like the stuff I'm teaching to you right now, they wouldn't, that just wasn't going to happen. Now, in my current part-time OT job, I am doing more of this, which is so cool, right? Like I'm talking to people about the three Ps, perfection, people pleasing, superhuman, about these stressors. So that's super cool. Not as deep as I'm doing with you guys, but still to some degree, more than I was previously, right? 12 years ago. And I have my own office and I can have the lights out. Like I just, it's an environment that is a lot more pleasing as well. So I get to do more of what I love and the environment is not toxic. My coworkers are cool. My boss is cool. My boss at my other job, way back in 2010, like she hated me. So yeah, so 1 to 10, whether you're working now or in the past, how fulfilling is the job and the environment? How nurturing, fulfilling is the job and the environment? And if you don't have anything that you're doing for work right now, that might be an issue too. There might be something you're being called to do. Even if it's part-time, even if it's volunteer, but you're not doing it for whatever reason, fear, energy, et cetera. All right. So that brings us to the end of that piece, but I want to go through some tools that you can start with. Okay. Pager. Thank you, Grace. A pager. Yeah. I couldn't think of the word. I appreciate that. Pager. Yes, I hated having that damn pager. It was always buzzing. So let me give you some tools to get started with you guys. So awareness is key, but then we need some tools so that we can start shifting this stuff. And what I talk about in terms of tools are you want to use tools that are both, I'm going to kind of use tools and inspired action steps interchangeably. So I talk about ones that are more internally focused on shifting those limiting thoughts and beliefs that drive our behavior, that keep us stuck in all these things we talked about, but then also ones that are more external. Okay. So some tools that you can get started with. Now you all have access to the guided therapeutic meditation practice that I specifically recorded for MS and autoimmune disorders. You guys have that available for you to use right now free for the next week or so. So what is this therapeutic meditation practice? Those of you that are new, it is the primary, one of the most important primary tools that I created and still use today. I laid down and did a guided meditation practice before I taught this class. Okay. Because even though I've been teaching this, doing this since 2010, I still have some anxiety. I still have some fear, my perfection, not doing good enough. So I have to use that. So this guided meditation practice, even if you have not been able to do meditation before, I am telling you, try it, please. I could not do regular meditation. This has changed my life. I still use it 1 to 3 times a day since MS started. Not since it started. I didn't have it when it started. But in 2008 is when I was introduced to some meditation, and I adapted it to the therapeutic meditation process. And this guided practice is a piece of that. So it helps you to connect with yourself. It helps you to have more self-acceptance and love. It helps with fatigue. It helps you to have more rest. It helps you to listen to your body's messages, release negative emotions, whether they are from past attacks or current emotions that come up on a daily basis. It helps shift negative or limiting beliefs and fears. And again, those negative limiting beliefs and fears that we usually picked up in childhood are keeping you stuck in the things we talked about earlier, stuck in unfulfilling relationships, jobs that aren't great for you, beating up on yourself, not setting boundaries, right? So in a nutshell, these are huge. Discovering and shifting those limiting beliefs and fears are huge when it comes to healing MS or any illness or any having anything you want in your life, anything you desire in all what I talk about, eight life areas. So use it 1 to 3 times a day. If you're currently working, I highly recommend, and even if you're not working, use it as a midday rest break. During your lunch break, listen to it, laying down or reclined, outside or in your car. I used to go find a quiet room when I worked at the rehab hospital still, and I'd lock the door and I would lay down on the floor and I would use it during my lunch break. Okay. And then I would use it again after work in order to have more energy afterwards so I could cook or go for a walk or go to the gym. Sometimes I listened to it in the beginning of the day when I woke up feeling really anxious or depressed. That would really help clear that. And then I had struggled from insomnia and still can sometimes since I was a child for many reasons, I believe, right? Not feeling safe. We struggle with insomnia, people with anxiety. A lot of it's, you know, people with insomnia, a lot of it's anxiety related. So I use it still to this day, every night when I go to bed, it helps soothe my nervous system, right? It soothes the stress. It releases the stress. So at bedtime, as you fall asleep, low level, doesn't matter if you hear a word of it, it works on a conscious and subconscious level. So that's going to be my biggest tool that I plug you guys with today, and just use it. Try it once a day, at least. If you're not working right now, or even if you are, try it midday and at bedtime as you fall asleep. If you've got that anxiety or depression in the morning, or you didn't sleep good and you wake up tired, just use it. Sit up and use it so you don't fall back asleep. But it has helped me to nap midday, or at least to get some rest. So it does so many things for you, all the things I mentioned and more. Another tool that I'm going to encourage you to do is take some time and reflect on what you desire in all areas of your life. What do you desire in all areas of your life? Things that you've been hiding from yourself that you really want or telling yourself you can't have. Okay, so you're going to notice too that in the guided meditation practice, I ask you, what do you desire? So you're going to be able to take some of these and put them into the guided therapeutic meditation practice, right? When you're listening to it, write a sentence describing what you desire in positive present tense. So I have a really general one right now, but I used to have a really specific one. When I was healing MS, it was my body and mind are healthy, healed, whole. My body is vibrant. My mind is at peace. Right. So find words that resonate with you, but we say it as if it's already true. We plant the seed as if it's already true. But take some time to reflect on what you really want, and then start taking some, what I call little baby steps or external inspired action steps towards those things. You know, again, reflect on those. Number three tool is do some write and reflect on your current relationships. Like, look at those primary relationships in your life, and are there any that need to maybe go? Maybe some where you need to set and keep some more boundaries. You know, sometimes a boundary is leaving. Currently at this point in my life, I don't speak to my mom or my dad. It's just not healthy for me. They're still very much in their denial, and their illness is around what happened growing up. So, all right. So yeah, take some time to write and reflect on some changes that need to happen in your current relationships, right? You deserve relationships that are supportive and loving. And again, we're going to be needing to use that guided therapeutic meditation practice to help shift those limiting beliefs and fears that would keep you stuck in those relationships or from setting and keeping boundaries, right? It's safe to set boundaries now. That's a big one that a lot of my clients need to plant the seed for. It's safe. It's good. It's necessary to set and keep healthy boundaries now for me to heal and for me to stay healthy. All right. So another inspired action is a tool slash inspired action is really focus on loving, compassionate self-talk. So anytime you catch yourself saying something mean to yourself or unkind or harsh, out loud or silently, I want you to catch it and I want you to reframe it. So like I said, I used to call myself stupid all the time. So when I heard myself say I was stupid, I'd say, oh no, Tanya, you're not stupid. You're doing the best that you can. You're doing the best that you can. You're not stupid. You're actually really smart. Right? So you want to catch that negative self-talk and turn it into more loving, loving, compassionate self-talk. And then something that I just decided to give to you guys is that, you know, we really also want to focus on healing those past attacks or wounds, right? That's a big piece because those need to be released from our body. That fear, that trauma needs to be released from our body. And so I have something called the self-healing process, and I'm going to go ahead and put it up on your gift page with this replay for you to try. And again, it'll be available for a short period of time for free. And then if you choose to work with me in any way moving forward, you will get one or more. I have different ones for different issues. So I have a self-healing process for boundaries. I've got one for relationships. I've got one for money stuff. I've got one for self-love. Fill in the blank. But I'll give you guys a sample practice, one of my newest self-healing processes, so that you can try that out. And it helps you to like show up and be that divine, what I call the divine parent to yourself that most of us didn't have. You're going to support that part of you to heal that past wound, that past trauma, that past attack. So I will be putting that up as well, and then you'll have access to that. All right. And then I had a few questions that came in via email for people that couldn't be live. And so I just wanted to quickly answer those. I know we don't have a lot of time left. You know what? I'll answer those. Let me first just tell you how, if you'd like to continue to work with me, how to receive more support, right? How we can do that. And then I'll go through those questions. So there's a couple ways that you can work with me, that we can work together. One of them is my year-long program that goes through all the keys, all the areas. It's the biggest support that I offer. And there's a couple options, group, and then group plus private sessions. So that for some of you might be something you're interested in. And again, it's called the Evolve Journey, and I'll be putting that out into an email. It'll also be on your gift page with the replay. So that's a 12-month program. I also have, this is brand new. I just created it. You guys are the first to hear about it. I have a new program that I call Catalyst. And that's where you choose to work with me for 3 or 6 months, and you choose the specific areas that we talked about today that you'd like to focus on. Okay. And then you still get guided meditations. You get audio lessons on those areas. You get self-healing processes based on those areas for those areas. That is a great new option where it's kind of shorter term that we work together, 3 or 6 months. It's not a whole year. And so that might be an option that works for you. And then another shorter term option is right now I have a program going on called Connect with the Divine You, or You Are Divine. And that is really area number one, where we work on accepting all parts of ourselves, listening to all parts of ourselves. So those are the three options that I recommend for anybody that wants to go deeper with me. If you're not sure what option you want to do, we can schedule a time to talk and kind of see what works best, both financially and time-wise for you. I have a sliding scale, especially for my clients that have MS and autoimmune disorders, because I know that, I know the position I was in. I had a husband that, he made a ton of money, but he was very controlling with the money and what I could spend my money on. And he did not believe in alternative healing. So, I needed some support in that area. And so I'd like to offer that to you guys as well. So I'm just letting you know that if you think, oh, I can't afford to work with Tanya, that's not true. We can always find a way that I can support you a way that works for you financially and time-wise, et cetera. Okay. So those questions, one question was, you went off your medications. Do you suggest that we go off your medications, that we go off our medications too? So a lot of people ask me that. No, that is, I don't recommend that. I recommend that you do what feels good for you. If it feels good for you to be on a medication right now, then please, by all means, do that. Whether it's blood pressure, whether it's MS, whether it's anxiety or depression. I never tell people to go off their medications. And if they say they want to, I'll say, well, we need to get something in place. You need to get to a certain point before we start weaning. And you're going to wean with your professionals, right? With your doctors. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. So no, I don't ever say go off your medications. And if you want to, I do help you to do that gradually. Let's see what else. Tanya, I've had fibromyalgia pain since my early 20s. I'm now 40. Is it possible for me to really heal this pain? Yes, it is. I have worked with people that have fibromyalgia, people that have had low back pain, other pain disorders. And yes, it is completely possible to fully heal pain. I used to have horrible headaches. I don't have those anymore. So yeah, I use this a lot. All of the stuff a lot with people that have pain, especially in my part-time OT job now too. Pain can be completely healed. Absolutely. Let's see what else here. What other questions are coming in? I was recently diagnosed with MS and feel overwhelmed by it all. I was told to strictly limit my diet and take a lot of different supplements. What are your thoughts? I'll tell you what. When I was first diagnosed with MS, I was an all or nothing person. If I did something, I did it to the extreme, right? The perfectionist in me. And I had to do it perfect or it wasn't going to work. I did this. It was called the MS diet book, and some nurse that was giving me injections recommended it. I was so extreme with that. I created more stress for myself. So what I teach in my programs is moderation. We want to limit versus restrict. We want to add more of the good stuff versus saying, oh, you can't have this bad stuff. And you never beat yourself up for whatever you eat, right? So I do recommend that we limit soy, dairy, wheat, and sugar. Those are the top four that cause inflammation. So while you are doing this healing of MS or in any autoimmune disorder, while we're working together, that you want to limit those. And then as your healing journey goes on and you take care of these other stressors, these other attack mechanisms, it will become less necessary to limit, right? I still don't eat a lot of wheat or gluten, but I do sometimes and I'm fine with it. I don't eat a lot of dairy, but sometimes I have ice cream, right? So I call it the 70-30 rule. 70% of the stuff that you know is really beneficial. And then have some of the 30%. Have the piece of cake. Have the piece of chocolate. Have the scoop of ice cream. Don't eat the whole cake or the whole pint of ice cream at one sitting, right? Which I used to restrict binge, which is very unhealthy. And as far as supplements, the biggest ones for MS that I have found helpful for people and myself, vitamin D, fish oil, and make sure it's Nordic Naturals or some other really good brand, B complex, and then something called Natural Calm or magnesium. Just if you don't want to do natural calm, just magnesium specifically at night when you go to bed. Magnesium and then calcium with the magnesium because they go together. You know, if we do extreme, if we try to overload ourselves, if we go extreme with food or we try to overload ourselves with supplements, it's going to stress you out too. And stress, as we know, again, is at the root of all illness. So if anything feels really stressful, you know, maybe don't do it or don't do it as extremely. So those are some great questions. And I know that we're at the end of our time. So, you know, I just want to thank everyone for taking the time, whether you're live or listening to this replay. I hope that you found something beneficial today and that you get started with, again, I don't want to overwhelm you. So pick one of those areas to really focus on and maybe start with the guided therapeutic meditation practice as the tool. So one area, one tool, and then you can add, right? Depending on your schedule and how busy you are, whether you're working, whether you're not working, but don't overwhelm yourself. Right? That's a superhuman thing, like trying to do too much at once, trying to change too much at once. So sending you guys so much love. And one of my favorite things to say is progress, not perfection. And that's a huge one. Progress, not perfection. And just know that it is possible to fully heal. It is. I've helped many people heal many different illnesses, especially MS and autoimmune disorders. And, you know, no matter what it is, no matter what Western medicine says, it is possible. And so just take that with you, take that hope with you, and stay aware of your thoughts and your words and your actions and really check in. Are they loving or attacking? Are they loving? Or are they stressing me out? And really, you know, use the tools that are going to nurture you and are going to help you make these shifts and be patient with yourself. You know, it took me how long to heal? And I'll be honest, I still have some GI problems I'm working on healing because they were my original wound, right? My original symptom that started in my mother's womb, actually, I believe. And definitely when I was born, I had huge GI issues. And so that's something I'm still working on healing today. So I have to be still really patient and trust that it's going to heal. And it takes time, as much time, divine time. So I look forward for those of you that feel called to work together and to support you to heal and be your guide on your journey and give you the tools and the wisdom and just everything that I used and continue to use. So, all right. Love you guys. Look forward to connecting with you soon. Bye.